Be seated, please. At baptisms, I often say that the sermon is the baptism itself. Today is much the same as we witness and bless the marriage of June and Mark Hudson this morning. We have known these two as members of Epiphany for some years now, and we know that they've faced a number of difficulties, including their divorce almost 2 years ago. I defy anyone who's been married for more than 2 years not to have come close to that, if not actually done. And we all, if we don't know what difficulties are in marriage, then I'm afraid we don't know what marriage is either. So, today is not merely a renewal of vows, but a marriage. A return to their marriage of 23 years already. During the recent past, they've dealt with a number of issues, including serious medical conditions, both June's and Mark's. And June's brings us another witness, a third witness of the wedding, in the person, I will say, of Reba this morning, whom we also know. Please understand that I mention all of this to you not as gossip or idle talk, but as part of the sermon these two present to us this morning. In today's gospel, Jesus offers the image of a wedding by way of illustrating preparedness for whatever God has in store for us. That meeting is merely the one appointed for today. There was no planning to do this thing when that gospel was being read. It's serendipity, or as we Christians call it, grace. In his letter to the Hebrews, the unknown author, and we've acknowledged that it's not Paul since the second century, we know that. The unknown author of Hebrews speaks eloquently of who we Christians are, reminding us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is the real text of today's sermon. Any relationship founded on utter trust in another human being is a risky undertaking. Even holy matrimony, a relationship we believe to be blessed and supported by God's grace. If we, the church, didn't believe that business about riskiness, why would we pray, as we will in just a few moments, for the honesty to acknowledge when they hurt each other and the humility to seek each other's forgiveness and yours? Because we know, and God knows, that it is impossible for anyone to live in such a relationship without hurting each other. So what we pray for all of us, not only June and Mark, is not the absence of such inevitable hurt, because we're human beings, but the means for dealing with those injuries we inflict on each other, seeking God's grace and strength not to repeat them. In fact, our prayers include one for the strength to keep the vows each of us has made, reminding us that all who make up this parish family and this body of Christ need to renew our reliance on God to help us faithfully fulfill the vows we made or others made on our behalf at baptism and at other points in our lives. The letter to the Hebrews goes on to remind us that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. What a stunning statement. I love that. It takes us back to real basics. What is seen was made from things that are not visible. Friday, I was speaking with Abby and her husband Mark and their children, Shane and their children, about the children's upcoming baptism date to be announced. At one point I was explaining, I think it's too ambitious a word, describing to Jackson the nature of a sacrament, telling him that there's always an outward visible part and an inward invisible one, and spiritual. Whether it is the couple in a marriage or the water in baptism, there's always a part in the sacrament we can see and usually feel and hear, and sometimes taste, as in Holy Communion. Those visible elements, as much as we cherish them, are mere signs of the spiritual reality, God's grace, that underpin them and give them life. Those elements are made from things that are not visible. God's grace and love defy the limits of human language. Our Lord used image after image in his parables to paint verbal pictures of what love is like. The author of Hebrews, speaking of Abraham and Sarah and using such imagery, speaks of us as well. If they had been thinking of the land they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. The author tells us too that God called our forebears in the faith and calls us to what he calls a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Meaning not just something that we will encounter when we die. So easy to say, it's that pie in the sky, by and by stuff that drives me nuts. We think, there's this, and then there's heaven out there. But it's not only that, but especially an eternal life that has begun in us now. Trying to recapture or run from the past, usually, maybe always, distorted by memory, vanishes, and our Lord's many reassurances that the kingdom of God has come very near us is here and now. It is a corrective, I think, to trying to live in the past. We celebrate today with Mark and June that divine presence in this and future moments in their lives. And we thank them for helping us to reflect on God's presence with us in all our lives, here and now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.